preach about all that stuff with the gospel. All right.
Careful what you wish for.
We live in a time where people are really getting concerned. When we look at the world around us and, man, just concerned about things, especially Christians. We are alarmed by what we see in our communities. Each year, each decade seems to kind of go. In our media, on the other end of the noses of our kids, causes us worry. The world stage is changing fast, faster than it ever has. The job market is transforming from a landscape that once was familiar to some unknown abyss. No longer what will life be like in the distant future. The future is already here. I've had many conversations with you about this over the last couple of months, and especially in the last couple of weeks, even in the exit line last Sunday. A parishioner asked me, is it end times? Wow, there seems to be a lot of conversation about end times. The course the world is on seems to be unsustainable. All of the end times passages in the gospel and the lectionary are starting to come up. That's how the church year ends. The last month of the year, you get four or five in a row that are all about end times. So be ready for that. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Those passages are all coming. Sheeps and the goats, it's coming. One thing Christians do is we call out bad behavior. That's good, though. We should. But most of all, we like to call out the bad behavior of them over there. We say the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Right? You hear that? I think I just did that in the first part of the sermon, in the first page, didn't I? I think I just was guilty of that. We Christians, we want God's justice more than anything. We want God to act and do something to fix the world for the better. This is the prayer of every atheist. Atheists aren't people who don't believe in God. Atheists are anti-God because God isn't doing enough. We Christians also look at the world around us and we say, God, why aren't you doing something? How could you allow this to happen? This isn't just the cry of today. This was the cry of God's people 2,000 years ago, and years before that, and years before that. It's all over the Psalms. If you read the 150 Psalms, over half of them are these type of cries out to God. In this morning's passage, Jesus feels the tension of the people. He feels like the people that are listening to him, he can just sense their tension. In the previous section, right before Luke 18, in chapter 17, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and what it is and where it resides. He says, don't say the kingdom of God is over there, or is with that leader, or that government, or even that party. The Bible says the kingdom of God does not reside in those places. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It dwells
hear this from Christ, they have been getting frustrated. We want to see more. I don't think we trust what you're saying. At least some of them. They wanted God to fix all the things wrong in their community through some sort of force power. Snap your fingers, God, and make all bad things go away so that the good can flourish. Isn't that what we want? So Jesus senses this, and he tells the group this parable. He said, a widow says to a judge, give me justice. Life is unfair. And widows are desperate people. They couldn't work. They couldn't feed themselves. Their source of life and income is buried in the ground. So they were vulnerable and weak. So anybody who was opposed to a widow, that person was pretty bad. So their cries for justice were justified. Now the judge, he was interesting because he could care less about any of this. He had no moral compass. He had no God. He didn't care about anyone. But this woman, she was so persistent. She kept asking him for justice. So the judge planned to give this widow justice. And the judge says something amazing. He says, won't God give justice to his own elect? Will he delay? I tell you, God will give them justice speedily. But when the Son of Man returns, will he find any believers on earth? That last statement kind of catches us when we hear it. Oh. We cry for justice. We want a better world. But do we trust God's justice? Are we looking for our own justice? Do we accept the justice that God has already given us in the cross of Jesus Christ? Or are we looking for another form of justice that carries more satisfaction than the cross of Christ? I tell you, as your pastor, many are not satisfied with just the cross of Christ. They want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They want the wicked to pay, and they can't wait to watch them burn. But I ask you, has Jesus paid the price on the cross for all the sins of the world? For all humankind, has the debt been paid? Has the account of man's sin been settled once and for all? For those of us who believe in the cross of Christ, it has been settled. Jesus Christ has taken on the sins of the entire world, including you and including me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone would be in debt to sin. Hear me out. Everyone owes somebody some debt to sin that can't be repaid, that can't be undone, that can't be fixed. It's permanent. But Jesus Christ, who is in debt to no one, for sin. By his own grace, his own will, freely gives pardon to all who believe. This is his unconditional love. And as each one of us receives this gift of grace for ourselves, will we accept it? Will we accept also the grace that comes to other people, including those that could have wronged us? Let me say the last line of verse 8 once again, so we can hear it in context. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Do you see it? Do you get it? Forgive us our trespasses as we, or in equal measure, as we forgive those who have wronged us. They may be included in God's grace too. As Christians, when we see the cross of Jesus Christ, we not only see the Redeemer of our sins, but also the cross that we are not able to bear. We see the one who has taken on our sins, but also the one who has taken on the sins of our enemies. This is why that same Jesus said earlier in his ministry, love your enemies. Be kind to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Actually, pray for those who mistreat you. That's horrible. This was said by Jesus earlier in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, if you want to look it up. Those are our marching orders from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's certainly okay to call injustice out, especially what is going on around us. There's plenty of it. But let's not throw our faith out the window with our disdain for other people. Let's not be caught up in the division and the warring factions of our community. Let us pray with persistence for the people who have wronged us. For those who have wronged others. As Christians, this is what Jesus calls us to do